And now it's time for Friday Morning Scattershoot with your old pal Junior Miller right here on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.
And it's brought to us by Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, scattershooting while wondering whatever happened to John Matlack. It's one of my favorite pitchers when I was a kid. You know, he was nicknamed the Senator because he looked like a politician. Gonzaga fell just short of a national title on Monday night, but their gigantic Polish center, Szymek Karnowski, set a college basketball record this season, becoming the winningest player in the history of the sport. He finished his career with 137 wins, six more than the previous record holder Shane Battier of Duke. Karnowski is fourth all-time in games played with 152. The record holder there is Ohio State's Ted Leidy, who played in 157 games from 2006 to 2011.
What do you think of his pro possibilities?
Eh.
No. I'm kind of eh, too. I think he's a little slow.
Yeah. I didn't like the fact that in a big game he missed like 10 point blank shots.
Yeah, and he gets stuffed at the rim too by quicker players. I don't know.
Shut up. North Carolina adds another title to their resume, their sixth. That's now third most all time, trailing UCLA's 11 and Kentucky's 8. And Roy Williams becomes the sixth coach to win at least three championships, joining John Wooden, Coach K, Adolph Rupp, Jim Calhoun, and Bobby Knight. Here's a question that I don't have the answer to, but was wondering as I watched the Tar Heels and Zags this week. Is Gonzaga coach Mark Few the only coach in championship game history to not wear a necktie?
Ooh.
It may have happened before, but I don't remember it. As I believe Grant Hill said, he's going business casual.
Rick Majerus never played the title game.
Right? Championship game coach, no necktie.
Oh, did Tark wear one, or is he always...
I think Tark wore one. He had a towel.
Yeah, he wore one.
But I think he always wore a tie.
Oh, Bobby Knight.
Yeah, he wore the sweater.
He wore a tie during his run.
Oh, back then in 76 and, what, 80?
Yeah, he wore a tie back then.
Okay. Let's all think about that this weekend, and then let's all get back to me.
I'll get back to you Monday.
And if you would like to place a way-too-early wager, the odds are out for next year's college basketball season. The favorite is Kentucky, then Carolina, Duke, and Gonzaga. Kansas is the Big 12 favorite, followed by West Virginia and Oklahoma to bounce back from a bad season. This has been quite a last 12 months for redemption in sports. North Carolina wins the basketball title 1 year after losing the championship game to Villanova. Meanwhile, Clemson won the football title by avenging their loss to Bama the year before, and the Cavaliers won the NBA title, beating the Warriors after losing to them in the finals the previous season. Mm. The Dodgers start the baseball season with the highest payroll in the sport, $242 million. A big chunk of that is Clayton Kershaw's salary. He's making $33 million this year, which happens to be more than the Padres are paying their entire 25-man roster. The Padres' total payroll is $73 million, but a lot of that money is being paid to players on other teams. So San Diego is actually paying the 25 guys on their active roster right now a total of $29 million, $4 million less than what the Dodgers are paying one guy, Kershaw. Boy.
Crazy.
The Yankees have the second highest payroll, $202 million. The Red Sox and Tigers are next at $199 million, and the Blue Jays are fifth at $177 million. The Rangers have the sixth highest payroll to start the season at $175 million.
And had bottom one stinking win yet.
That's right. And after Kershaw, the next highest paid player is Zach Greinke at $32 million, followed by David Price at $30 million. By the way, the highest-paid Ranger, Cole Hamels, who's making 22.5 this year. It's been a rough start to the season for the Rangers, but there have been a couple of bright spots, including Carlos Gomez's opening day home run blast. It measured at 461 feet and landed in the club-level seats in left field, only the 20th homer in the history of the ballpark to land there. Hmm. Gomez became the first Ranger since Nelly Cruz to hit one into that section. It's very difficult to pinpoint what the longest home run in Major League Baseball history was because measuring techniques were, until recently, very much guesswork. There have been several verified blasts in the 500 to 550-foot range by sluggers like Dave Kingman, Reggie Jackson, Jose Canseco, and Mark McGwire. But according to many baseball historians, the longest home run ever hit was in 1960 off the bat of Mickey Mantle.
Mm-hmm.
It was at Old Tiger Stadium in Detroit. The ball actually sailed over the roof of the stadium in right field. Its estimated distance, 643 feet.
You don't buy it?
Oh, I don't know. I guess I do. It just seems outrageous that we've never seen any of these big guys who've been on roids in the mm-hmm. last 20 years hit one that far.
None of them were the Mick.
Yeah, and that's some right. say the ball is still rolling.
He's farm strong.
Yeah. A tradition unlike any other is underway at Augusta National. This was a very American affair from its first year in 1934 when Horton Smith won to Arnie's win in 1960. Nothing but American winners. The next year, Gary Player from South Africa became the first non-American to win the green jacket. Seve was the first European to win the Masters. That didn't happen until 1980.
Really?
Since Seve's breakthrough, 17 of the last 36 winners have been foreign, including last year's champ, the Englishman Danny Willett. 40-year-old Catholic priest Juan Carlos Martinez apologized shortly after realizing, as he said, he had gone too far in celebrating March's Carnival in a town in Spain. That he acted inappropriately in dressing as Playboy magazine founder Hugh Hefner, reclining on a red satin sheet on a parade float carrying men dressed as classic Playboy bunnies. Despite apparent public support for Father Martinez, his archbishop asked him to attend a spiritual retreat to reflect on his behavior.
Let's just reflect on this for a moment.
This week's least competent criminal is 21-year-old Justin Johnson, who was arrested in Bloomfield, Indiana, after failing to get the Bloomfield State Bank to cash his bogus check, a check he had made out to himself for $1 million even, which he presented to the teller in the bank's drive-through window. The teller then asked for some identification, and optimistically, he handed over his driver's license for ID along with the check. He thought that was just a formality.
Oh, yeah.
That was the last step in getting the $1 million back.
Well, sure, here you go.
But of course, that gave the bank and the police all they needed to arrest him. And finally, a single guy decided life would be more fun if he had a pet. So he went to the pet store and told the owner he wanted to buy something unusual. After some discussion, he bought a talking centipede, which came in a little white box to use for his house. He took the box back home, found a good spot for it, and decided he would start off by taking his new pet to church with him. So he asked the centipede, "Would you like to go to church with me today?" But there was no answer from his new pet. This bothered him a little bit, so he waited a few minutes. Then he asked him again, "How about going to church with me today?" But again, there was no answer from the new pet. So he waited a few more minutes, finally deciding to invite the centipede one last time. He put his face right up against the centipede's little box house and shouted, "Hey, you in there, would you like to go to church with me this morning?" This time a little voice came back out of the box. "I heard you the first time. I'm just putting on my shoes."
Okay. So yeah, it takes a while.
No, just centipede. Put on shoes, huh?
That's Friday Morning Scatter Shooting, the radio segment that other radio segments dream about being.
Thanks for hanging out with your old pal Junior Miller for another edition of Friday Morning Scatter Shooting. We'll see you next Friday right here on Sports Radio 1310 and 96.7 FM, The Ticket.